The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
That beyond what is going to be taught, you will receive wisdom for life, for living. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's be seated. So today is the second course in this our class. Amen. What's the class? So is this 101 or 102 or 2? Which level? Are we in 200 level or 300 level? Amen. So last week we were dealing with success codes. Remember that? Success codes. So wisdom classes. And today, I will take us on the second part of this. And we'll be looking at... before we get to that, let me just refresh your mind that last week I mentioned five... Was it five or seven? Seven. Right? Seven success codes. Number one is what? Knowledge. Remember? Number one is what? These are things that if you're going to succeed in any field, spiritual ministry, call it spiritual, whatever, or ministry, or academics, or anything, you must possess these things. Number one is knowledge. Number two, character. Character. Character can make you. Character can mar you. Skill and charisma, anointing can lift you up. Character can bring you down in the next minute. Character. Reputation. Remember I talked about that? Reputation is capital. Remember that statement last week? Reputation is one of the biggest capitals you need. That's where character comes in. The third one? Diligence. Hard work. Diligence. Whatever you do and you don't apply diligence, you're going to fail. Don't apply diligence to your studies, you fail. Don't apply it to your career, you fail. Don't apply it to ministry, you fail. People seem to think that they will succeed just because God said they should do it. The leadings of God is not all you need to succeed. The leadings of God are not all. So God can lead you, God can be with you, but then you fail. So character, diligence, what's the next one? Relationship, you remember that? So I'm going to talk about this one today. What's the fifth one? Focus. Focus. You can't be this easily distracted and carried away by everything and expect to pull through. What's the next one? Consistency. And the last one? Excellence. An excellent spirit. So you can go over that last week. But then today I'm going to start from relationship. One major thing you need to succeed in life are relationships. I believe that apart from the gift of Jesus, which is the gift of the Spirit, however you want to turn it, the second most important gift God gave us are people. Call it the church, call it God's man, call it anything, it's people. If you do not know how to manage and handle relationships very well, you are going to struggle a lot in life. Not because God has not supplied, but because you will not get anything. Because God is the source of everything. Man is the channel. I hope you know that. Everything, both spiritually, financially, everything, man is the channel. So the man that says doesn't believe in man does not believe in God. Right. Should I say that again? Anybody that says, I don't believe in man, he doesn't believe in God. James said, how can you say
You love God that you do not see. But you cannot love your neighbor that you can see. How can you say, I believe in God? Think of everything you want to get on earth. It's man. Including the knowledge of the scriptures. You know, you say, ah, God taught me direct. How did he teach you? I read the Bible for myself. Nobody taught me. The Bible you read for yourself, men wrote it. Are you following me? Men wrote it. I don't need anybody. You are an accident waiting to happen. You don't believe in God. You don't believe in man. You don't believe in man, rather. You don't believe in God. The most precious things you must protect in life are relationships. Let me say this to you. You know, when I was teaching you here, I told you when they ask you to count your assets, you should count your prophetic words. Remember that day? When they say, what are your assets? Before you start mentioning my land, count your words. Words, prophetic words are assets. I want to add, relationships are assets. I mean, they are assets. You know one thing about assets? They are assets that can even be inherited by your children. Relationships. They are assets that your kids can inherit. They are as tangible as lands or houses. And so, the man that has good friends, that has the right company, is not poor. Right? You never forget it. The man that has the right company is not poor. If he has the right people, he's wealthy. He's rich. He's rich. Amen. He's rich. And so, if you have learned how to maximize relationships, general relationships, you might have crossed one big hurdle in the journey of life, in the journey of success. You see, Proverbs 13:20, we saw that last Thursday. Proverbs, when we talk about relationship, Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 20. Amen. Proverbs 13, 20. He said, he that walketh with wise men, with wise men shall be wise. But they can be companion of fools. You know what I told you guys here? That success is very predictable. Remember, I tell that to you. And one of the ways to predict whether someone will succeed or not is to look at the friends he's keeping. If I look at the people that you keep around you, you see, don't say, they don't, I'm very strong, they don't influence me. It's not true. If I look at the people you keep around you, I will tell where you are going, when you are going to go there, and how you are going to get there. They always give an example with you, give you this example of men of God. That almost all the men of God you know are the forefront of the gospel move in Nigeria today. Most of them, 80-90% of them, we are friends as young people. Are you following me? So we can predict where you are going to. We can. But by your association, you can tell. You can tell. And so you must value relationships. You must value relationships. You must value them and get the best of them. I'm talking about every kind of relationship. For instance, Let me just say, for instance, one of the figures, first of all, everybody needs, I'll give you like four or five relationships that everybody needs or more. Amen? I'm not going to explain, I'm just going to mention them. Five or six relationships everybody needs. I mean, first, everybody needs a parent figure. What I prefer to call a father figure. Everybody, whether your father and mother are dead, everybody needs a parent figure. Listen carefully. I didn't say everybody needs a father. But everybody actually has a father. Everybody needs a parent figure, both biological and spiritual. One of the greatest reasons people fail is because there's no voice, there's no father figure, there's no father voice over them. Some of you are a man of plastic. Remember when I was talking about make your relationship work? Remember? You need a father figure. Now, if you have it in the biological and he's playing his role well, God bless you. You also need it in the spiritual. In fact, as a matter of fact, in almost every aspect of life, you need a father figure. I don't get the point. But then apart from different aspects, you need a father figure. Someone that oversees you. Apart from praying for you, that can talk to you. Amen. You know, one day, my pastor was doing a teaching one day. I believe one day he's going to put it as a book. He titled The Woes of the Fatherless. The same man that is not fathered, you will know. When you see fathered people, you know. It's not titled. It's not be, ah, that's my spiritual father. That's my biological father. When you see a man that is fathered, you will know. It shows in how he talks. There are things he cannot do. I see some pastors today. Some ministers live their life. And I can swear and tell you those guys, nobody fathered him. Or he didn't follow that father. He just can do anything. He can talk anything. He can talk to anybody. He's just so loose. All over the place. Something was missing in his making process. And that's the father. Many of us don't have fathers. Maybe because your parents are late. Or because you're not even close to them for them to play that role. And apart from your parents, you don't have anybody that can serve as a father figure, that can correct you, that can talk to you. And then some of us have, but we are not even in the position for them to do their work. And that's where the problem is. You must have father figures, a father figure that speaks over your life, that talks to you, that can put you in check. What I mean is, if you think of, what is the craziest thing you can ever think of doing? Tell me. If you think of going on TikTok as a lady, and dancing with pants and bra. Amen? Who do you remember and you slow back? There must be somebody like that in your life. I slow down. Are you getting me? Now, you see, there must be some. That's what I saw this happen on Facebook. I say, this one is lacking fathering. Either the father or mother is not existing, or she has deliberately removed herself from their covering. You know, nobody can force you. I don't get the point. If you think of being stupid, like, let me even say things that are not sane, but this will cross your mind. You're a young lady, one day you think of opening five of your ear, five the other side, two tongues, two on your tongue, two on your, three on your navel, and what's the other one? Nose. Open five on your nose. You want to become nose of the Lord of the Ring, have you? Who comes to your mind and you know that you are dead? Not because the person is going to be, you know, sometimes it's not beating. But just looking. Just turn and look at you, start explaining. Sir, this is what happened is, I didn't plan to open it. I felt that when I woke up and I saw that my nose had opened. Who is the person that can, if you don't have such restraints over your life, you might be an accident that will soon happen. And as a man, if you think of misbehaving, getting into crime, carrying four or five women at the same time, going to club to blow your money all night, if you think of overspending your money, who do you remember that he might ask, what did you, I thought they were telling me you got 25 million. What do you use it for? He said, I saw Rolls Royce Phantom. So I said, let me just buy it and be flexing because Christmas is reaching. If you think of doing that kind of stupid thing, who do you remember? If there is no figure like that in your life, you might need it soon. And that time, you might have ended up shutting all of them up. Who is following me at all? Every man is a parent figure. A father figure. Everybody needs a mentor or mentors, actually. In different areas of life. Academics, business. You need mentors that will guide you. Mentors are there to guide you. Because you're going to do business. If not, you're going to make a lot of mistakes. There should be business mentors. There should be academic mentors. The only warning I give in this area is that I see a lot of mentors who are trying to overstep their boundaries. You know, one of the things you must know as someone's whatever is to know your boundaries as a human being. I won't say more about that. But know your boundaries. I see people that you just go into the person for mentorship as far as this is concerned. He's trying to mentor you spiritually too. It doesn't work like that. Are you getting me? But there should be mentors. There should be mentors. Okay? Everybody needs a friend or needs friends. And I'm going to talk to you about, maybe I'll just mention it, five levels of friendship, but not now. Okay, I'll get in there shortly. But you need friends at different levels. That person that always says things like, I don't have friends, it's not a good thing, no. Are you getting me? If you are saying I'm not in a hurry to make friends, that's healthy. But if I say I don't have any friend, I'm just a man on my own, you're a problem. So everybody needs friends. Friends. Everybody needs a spouse. But if you don't have one, it's okay. At least for now. A spouse. Male or female. But please, if you are male, you must be female. If you are female, it must be male. Do you understand? It must be male. Please. Let's not fight in this church. See, I don't like that church. Only to wed somebody. That's my choice. Take in for prayers. Everybody needs children. Either biological or people you call mentees. And also people that you are trying to teach. The same thing you are getting from your mentors and your father. There should be people that you are mentoring. And it may not be official, but at least people that you can at least pass the little knowledge you have in business, the little knowledge you have. There should be somebody like that. If you are not doing that, let me tell you, you are not succeeding in life. Later in life, when you get to your 50s and your 60s and your 70s, your joy in life will no longer be coming from money and movies. Your joy will be coming from people you've impacted and are doing well. That will be your joy. I get what I'm saying? As you get older, your major joy will be looking at your kids, smiling. Maybe whether biological or anything, looking at them. You see, you know, this one has built so. I say, your company now, you don't have 200 staff. You remember the day he came to you, the day you encouraged him, the day you mentored him in business. I get what I'm saying? That will now be your joy. So you need mentees that you're talking to, officially or unofficially. I get the point. Everybody, so we need relationships. And many more I can talk about. But I'm just going to go straight to let you see. I'm going to mention five things. Five things that will help you keep, I call them relationship nuggets, that will help you keep and maximize your relationship, protecting them and making them, getting the best out of all these relationships. The first one is what I call careful pick. Careful P-I-C-K, pick. You must, and that nugget, that what that teaches is, you must never be in a hurry or be in haste to build any relationship. Never. Never. People approach me for mentorship these days. Of course, this is platform of grace. Being in this church, I'm your spiritual father. Some persons come to, beyond me being a spiritual father, they want to commit personally to my mentorship. When they come, and people from different denominations too. When they come for that, I can never give you an answer. Like, okay, I'll tell you, fine, let's be going. You know what that means? I know these things don't develop in one day. No relationship forms in a day. No. Not friendship. You know, one of the issues we have with friendship is many of us think that we can form these things very quickly. See, we just met. We just clicked. We just connected. And then you begin to share all your life secrets with the person. You let the person into your personal life. Think about it. All your life, there are about 5 to 7 persons you've connected with like that. And you guys have disconnected by now. Are you following me? Never be in a hurry with friendship. Any kind of relationship. Spouse, mentee, mentor, friendship, whatever. Father, that's why even in choosing a church, the fact that you came to this church once doesn't mean that this is now your church and now your father. No. I don't think I encourage people to come to you and say, I've chosen. It's okay to call once and look. Come again and look. Come again. Then after like 3 or 4 times, you say, okay, now I've decided. I get to the point. But then, don't be hasty about anything. Most people, how they choose mentors is, they go for a program and they see fire. They say, hey! You start following the person. You will end in trouble. Something will happen to you that you're not like. And people, especially, I'll say a little about friendship. Many of us are so much, especially in school. Sorry to say, especially with ladies. At least guys should know that there are people you can meet, watch football with them, gist with them, have a drink with them. That doesn't mean anything. Bye-bye.
Number G.
But you see a lady, they can meet people for 1-2 weeks, and that's my bestie. As soon as I wonder how many besties you have. And that's why you get hurt easily. Because no friendship, eh? Friendship comes with vulnerability. You know that, right? Once you become somebody's friend, you become vulnerable to the person. So once you accept that person quickly, you've opened up your heart, your emotions, your secrets, your will to the person. You are saying to the person, you know what vulnerability means? Vulnerability. Vulnerability means you are saying to the person, you can now hurt me. I get to the point. So once you open up yourself to that person, in less than 2 months, you're already crying. Little secret, I just shared with that. Little thing, I just told that. Everybody has said it. What were you expecting? As soon as when they come to me, I say, don't blame that person. I blame you. Why were you so much in a hurry to meet someone on that 1 month? He said, but we are vibing. Vibing is not friendship. Are you following me? Vibing is not friendship. There are 5 levels of friendship. This is not even a spiritual thing. It's, if you read many leadership books, you'll see them. First one is stranger. Strangers. How to explain strangers is, I know of you. Or I know about you. You know the person, no, but you guys are strangers. Are you getting the point? Stranger is, you know there are people in this church that are just strangers to you. You know about them. That's all there is. No, some people mix these things up. Something, have you ever gone for evangelism and somebody is trying to tell you, this is your pastor. I know you well, though. We used to flow. Have you seen that kind of thing? Sometimes when you come and tell me, Pastor, I'm not one of your friends. I say, I don't know that person. Strangers. I know of you. Then there is casual. Casual friends. That's the next level. Okay, so before casual, rather, there is strangers. Sorry, the second one is acquaintance. Can you spell it? Please look into your neighbor's book to see what he or she spells. Acquaintance. I will not spell it. Acquaintance. If you don't know what to do, you can just open dictionary. Use style. I just be copy. Acquaintance is now is where, at that level. I know you. The other one, I know of you. This one, I know you. Right? We are now talking. Hello, hi. How far? Acquaintance. Amen? How are you doing? Bye. Now, how far? How far? Now, how was church today? Hope you are blessed. Bye. We are acquaintances. Then, there is casual friend. At that level of casual friend, it is, I like you. There is nothing to eat. We are talking, you know, we can sit down and have a drink. We can sit down and discuss football. I just like you. This is where people get to and they feel like, I'm a very good friend. How many very good friends do you have? Say, we are that one with a vibe. You can just like someone. There will be nothing to eat. I like you. Then after I like you, that is now the close friend. I understand you. That time we are now talking, we have common interests, but we are just talking. We have common interests. When we talk, we understand each other. We are closer than casual. We understand each other. Do you understand? We even vibe. When we talk, we share the same mindset. We share same thought patterns. So we are just talking. At that point, we can even be talking. Now, there is a last level of friendship called intimate friend. That part is beyond us. You cannot say, I connect with you. We connect. That part, what I'm trying to show you with all this I mentioned to you is, none of these things happen in 1 month. I am of the opinion that you cannot have more than 2 intimate friends in your life. I am of that opinion. That you cannot have more than 2 intimate friends in your life. And you should never be in a hurry to force intimacy in friendship. And it's at this level of intimate friend that you cannot begin to share some personal secrets. You see how you are. About 10 people in church now know all your personal secrets. Because everybody is your friend. Once there's a little vibe, your mouth begins to go, blah, 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 blah. What's wrong with you? Any little vibe, pia, pia. You get chatted today, chatted tomorrow, chatted the next day. Hey, let me tell you. What happened yesterday? Blah, 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 blah. What's wrong with you? My family, my mother is sick, my father is dying, and my mother, what's wrong? After I start complaining, they don't, this church, to feel, I can never trust such people again. Who sends you to trust us? That was fast. That was fast. You should have calmed down and let the friendship build. Let the friendship build. Give it time. Give it time. People just meet me in a program, and because we just vibe, the next day they see me, say, ah, see my covenant brother. I say, who are you who has covenant? I said, not covenant, nothing. I will tell which covenant. It's nothing like that. I won't tell them in my mind. I'll say, go with your covenant, covenant brothers. I do not enter any covenant with anybody. Do you know where that covenant, do you know the people who call covenant brothers? One example in the Bible is Jonathan and David. Can't read about them. Those guys, they were so close that Jonathan, Jonathan's father was trying to kill David. Yeah, Jonathan and David were very close. That's friendship. That friendship extended to the point that even after Jonathan died, David was in his house one day. He was like, is there anybody from the household of Saul? Let me show him some favors because of Jonathan. And they found a guy that was crippled called Mephibosheth. You know the story, right? Because that friendship was still even after the man died. But then you can just meet anybody on the street and you feel, that's my covenant brother. Also, because somebody is dashing you money, feel you guys are friends. Friendship takes time to build. There was one single school that I taught us on different components of friendship. Do you remember? One of them is vulnerability. One of them is mutuality. Mutuality. You know what mutuality is? It means in friendship, the both parties must be contributing. Must. Any friendship that is just one person contributing, that's not friendship. That's parasitism. Are you getting me? That's not friendship. Now, I'm not saying the both parties must be contributing 50-50%. One person can be doing 60, another person 40. Some say because what you don't have here, I have here. Do you understand? One person may be smarter, the other person is richer. Are you following me? But the both parties must be contributing. That's why it's friendship. That's why it's friendship. And this is take time to build. It takes time. So, don't be in a hurry. The first nugget I'm going to give is, carefully pick your friends. Carefully pick your spouse. Carefully pick your spouse. Don't just find somebody you just see the person and the person is working. You say, man, we connect. You know, when I was in school, students are very interesting. When I was in school, one girl passed. The girl was even fine in my eye, but, you know, she just passed at one boy. Two guys were discussing. And the boy shouted, Jesus Christ. Even if she has HIV, I'm following her. So, but that's how they fall in love. Us, he said it in Igbo. When you can't bugodi my AIDS. This one, yeah. And that is how most of us understand friendship. You feel connected to somebody, and you think sometimes they end up marrying, you know. And then you wonder why relationships are breaking up. People are getting married based on career. People are getting married based on we share the same career. You say, why do celebrities' marriage break up? Why must celebrities find love in celebrities? I'm not saying it cannot happen. But are they marrying because there was really something or because I have to marry my status? Continue. That's why it will keep breaking up. More are coming. Take time. It's not all this work. Take your time. You see, I even tell you before you begin. Some of you wonder why this church is very stressful. I can't tell pastor I want to marry somebody. He will make me pray for 3 months. Why won't I make pray for 3 months? A journey you want to make for a lifetime and 3 months prayer is too much for you. If you stay long enough in this life, you will know that everything you see us do as a church, that's something custom. Are you getting me? We've seen things. That's how we take those decisions. There's a church, you know. The pastor is a popular church. The guy, before you marry from their church, the marriage committee must visit the guy's house on a day He has to write his address and they visit on a day that nobody knows. They will not even tell him. They will just come like 2-3 times and ask the neighbors, is this person's house? The pastor told him, you know why he started doing that? Because some time ago, they wedded a certain brother and a certain sister. And when they finished, the guy was like, where do you stay? I don't have a house. I'm telling you. So I was squatting with my friends, but even yesterday they pursued me from the house, so they came to pastor, so we don't have where to go to after wedding. Why can't somebody put your house like here? So when you see us do some things, don't think we are being stupid. Pray. We've seen things, so we've seen a mentor of mine shared with me of a guy that totally, he came to church, he stayed in church for 6-7 months. Committed. Come with different cars. The girl married him. He doesn't have one car. He was not even born again. It's like movie, but it happened. He planned it. Joined the church. Stayed there for like, joined the workforce. And after the whole thing, every car, he borrowed everything. It's like movie, but it happened. But like he borrowed all the cars. And lady was not crying. You cheated, you deceived me. Sometimes we are in a... How come the guy was judged for 7 months, and for 7 months you guys are married? Why are you rushing to? Amen? When were you guys strangers? When did you guys become acquaintances? Second week. When did you become casual friends? Third week. Close friend. Intimate. That's so much hurry. And where are you rushing to? You want to rush into something and rush out again. The wisdom of God demands that you take your time. Take your time. Jesus picked 12 disciples. But it was towards the end of his ministry that he began to deal with Peter, James, and John. End of ministry is after like 3 years of working with them. He was able to pick those three so he can work with this guy especially. Don't be in a hurry to pick friends. If you are close to me, you should know this is me forever. The fact that you come around me, because you should even know that people come around you for different purposes. For the guys and the ladies, people come around you some people for sex. That's all they want. Others because you have money. Others because you are smart. As a pastor, I can tell you, people come around me sometimes for pulpit. So I can give them time to preach. Sometimes I'm going to... You have a program, I'm going to come. Sometimes, not all, sure. Sometimes they're coming so that they can invite, you can invite them to your church to preach. One followed me around on Facebook, chatted me up every day. Ah, man of God, good evening. I'm CJ Walker. He was just talking. I don't chat on Messenger, but he was just talking. After some time, I knew he was going to somewhere. Then one day, I was not doing what, then I said, Papa, I don't know if, we're not together. Papa, please give me, as in, help me now, do for your boy. I say, how? He said, platform. I'm a singer. I need someone who can sing. I'm serious. Now, I'm not saying it's a bad thing, a good thing. It's not that he will not sing here, but I'm saying it's a bad thing, a good thing. I'm saying, this was the reason he came close. As a pastor, I'm wiser now. Amen? Somebody came to my pastor's church. Can I remember the full story? And came and told story of how he was in prison, how he got born again, how he had a vision, and the Lord told him to come to this church. And this is the main church. Okay. The problem is he met somebody. I said, you know, what do you see my pastor? The protocol was, okay, Chef, what do you want to say? He shared this amazing story. I was in prison. I had an encounter. In that encounter, I saw your pastor. The Lord revealed to me that this is the church that lives in the way, the truth, and the life. He finished. The protocol came at top. My pastor said, ignore that guy. He said, sir, you need to hear. I said, ignore him. See, if you are wise in ministry, as you grow, you know that people come for different reasons. Next Sunday, he didn't come back again. About 2 months after, the head of IE has scammed another church with a lot. That same story. I was in a vision and the Lord showed me and the Lord opened my eyes and I saw that this is the church, the way, the truth, and the life. And maybe because you are looking for validation for your ministry. I don't care, but you're looking for somebody to validate. Ah! So what you are doing, God even knows you are doing it. I don't need your validation, sir. Don't be in a hurry to pick friends. I get to the point. Don't be in a hurry to enter into anything. Take your time. Take your time. Take your time. The second counsel I'm going to give you on relationship is to walk in love. Love is the code for every human relationship. Love is the wisdom of God for every human relationship. Every human relationship. Love is the wisdom of God. Bitterness is not God's wisdom. Hatred is not. James 3 verse 13. James chapter 3 and verse 13. Glory to God. I'm going to read with maybe New Living Translation. James chapter 3 and verse 13. Glory, glory, glory. He said, if you are wise and understand God's way, prove it by living an honorable life, doing good works with the humility that comes from wisdom. Verse 14. But if you are bitterly jealous and there is selfish ambition in your heart, don't cover up the truth with boasting and lying. For jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. Let me tell you, neighbor. Jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. They are not. Such things are earthly, unscriptural, and demonic. Demonic. Verse 16. For wherever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and every kind of evil. But the wisdom that is from above is first of all pure. It is also peace-loving, gentle at all times, willing to yield to others. It is full of mercy and the fruit of good deeds. It shows no favoritism, is always sincere. And those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness. There is no wisdom in bitterness. There is no wisdom in hatred. And so, in talking about working in love, your relationships, I'll tell you, this is first of all seen in the heart. What that means is that for everybody, casual friend though, close friend though, intimate friend, father, mother, you must mean well from the heart for everybody. That's what love is, first of all. In your heart, you must sincerely and genuinely mean well for people. Love them. Because once there is bitterness and anger and hate in your heart, the relationship is already beginning. You're going to damage the relationship very soon. Very soon. That's what produces hatred and envy. Somebody does something. Somebody gets money. You are angry. Because there is first of all hate in your heart. First I said it must start from the heart. Then it must be seen in action. And that's where we'll talk about kindness. That's where we'll talk about kindness. It must be seen in action. And so, I'm not just talking about the love from your heart. They say, I love that person. You must be practical with love. That's what shows that your relationship will work. Whether it is towards your mother, love. Practical love, not in your heart. Towards your father, practical love. No relationship will be sustained without love. Towards your pastor, practical love. Towards your spouse, the same thing. Towards your friends, the same thing. Any relationship that is led by love will succeed. Love that is from the heart and is seen in action. Yes, in words too, but much more in action. Much more in action. Look at James 2 verse 14. Very important about love. James 2 verse 14. Now, I'd like us to read together. Are you ready? Did you come to church with your voice? Okay, let's read together, everybody. What good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith, but don't show it by your actions, can that kind of faith save anyone? Verse 15. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, okay? Come on. Next verse. You have passed, though. Go back to 16. And one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled. Notwithstanding, you give them not those things which are needful to the body. What does it profit? He's saying, it's not about talking. The love I'm talking about there must be practical. Someone says, I need food, I need money. If you have it, give it. That's what love is. Love is seen. Love is an action word. How many of you know that if someone loves you, you feel it? Do you know this? Sometimes they don't even say it, but you can feel it. You know it. You know this person loves you. Sometimes what he does for you, sometimes how he looks out for you. So, and that is what you should show. Now, I'm not going to say much on this, but I'm going to say every relationship you want to succeed, there must be practical acts of love. Some of you don't realize that one of the reasons why you are asked to honor your pastor is because honoring your pastor materially is a show and a sign that you love him. Are you following me? It's a proof that you love your pastor. Because, look at this example. The brother is tired, is naked. And you walk up to him and say, in the name of Jesus, clothes is provided. And the guy is still there. He said, Pastor, this birthday is coming. He said, what do we do for him? Say the name of, let's pray. Pray. For in prayer, we align things. That thing has been aligned in your account. Align it into the person's account. There must be a practical show of love. In the relationship way that is, you see, man and woman, you know, we talk about love languages a lot. You've heard of it, right? You know what love language is? Love language is simply what you do for someone, for the person to feel loved. Most marriages crumble. Not because there is no love, but because the people don't feel loved. And they don't feel loved because there is no effort to show them, to show the love. I share this story. A lady wrote to me, you know, and said, I'm tired of my marriage. I'm quitting. I'm writing this to tell you, I'm just respecting you. It was some years back to tell you that after this chat now, I'm done. I said, why? He said, nothing. I don't feel it anymore. I know he doesn't love me anymore. I said, okay. Is he cheating? No. He said, cheating? No. My husband does not even go out. The kind of job he does doesn't let him. It's not someone that goes and he can work from home. So let's at home, just on his phone. So he doesn't cheat on you. Say yes. I say, what is it? He said, there's no connection. There is nothing happening in the house. We are just there. I need money. He gives me money. And that's all we do. Amen. So I said, so you have decided. So I've decided I'm done. I'm getting a divorce. I can't be in a marriage I'm managing. I said, okay. We are going to get this divorce. But let's do something. You have a child? He says, I have one child. I said, fine. You're going to send that your child to your sister or your mother. Then you and your husband, you're going to go out and go on a vacation and stay in the same room for like 3 days to 1 week. She has money. Say yes, yes. Money will not be a problem. Suggest. He said, no. What are we going to be doing? You don't understand. Even if they have, like, you don't understand. We don't even talk. I say, that's what I'm saying. After the 1 week, people can now cut it off. What you have to do there is just go there and try your own best. People should talk. Say, I'm going to do this because I respect you. I say, yeah, that's why you're talking to me, because you respect me. So go and do it. They went on this vacation. Because at least I agreed. Mentioned it to the man. The man said, oh, well, let's go. He said, all you have to do there, when you guys get there, pray, study your Bible together, love each other, no too much phone, no too much internet, but if we talk to each other, no too much movies, talk to each other, have a lot of sex, spend a lot of time together, do this. Do you know, what I'm sharing with you, I just told them that, she said, okay, well, I'm going to try it. I didn't hear from her again, no, 1 month, 2 months. So one day, I said, since I gave you an assignment, have you gotten a divorce? He said, which divorce? I said, I'm sorry, I just got carried away. I didn't remember to get back to you to thank you. If I, from the second day, do you know what that shows you? There was always love in that marriage, but it was not expressed. I get to the point. Was not expressed. And that's the problem with many friendships. Many people, there is no expression. So, And a love you don't, love is an action word. It's not just about, I know in my heart that I love you. No. Amen. Hallelujah. So there must be love in that relationship. Any relationship that will do well. Man and woman. Mentor, mentee. Father, son, father, daughter. Friendship. Whatever you call it. We must sustain it by practical acts of kindness. Practical acts of kindness. Going out of your way to love the other person. Practical acts of kindness. That's what Jesus did for us. He showed us that he loved us. Hearing his love, not that we loved him, but that he loved us and gave himself for us. Practical. If, you know, the love Jesus showed us is beyond saying, I love you guys, just believe I love you. It's beyond that. Practical. Glory to God. The third thing that's going to sustain your relationship is peace. Pursue peace. That's the third relationship nugget I'm going to give you today. Pursue peace with all men at all costs. At all costs. I mean, see here. Pursue peace at all costs. At all costs. Hebrews 12 verse 14. Hebrews 12, 14. I'm going to explain that verse. He said, follow peace with all men. What is, look at, follow peace with all men and holiness. Please pay attention here. Now, he's not saying follow peace and follow holiness. No. Follow peace in all, with all men, which is holiness. That holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. He's not saying without holiness, you're not going to heaven. That's what he's saying. Without holiness, which is talking about peace here, no man will see the Lord in you. So how men will see the Lord in you is by your conduct. And the major conduct he's addressing here is what? Peace. So when you are in your neighborhood or your relationship or wherever, and you're always very quarrelsome, men will not see the Lord. Are you following me? And yet it's like, is this one also born again? Is that how to be born again? Without which no man shall see the Lord. So pursue peace with everything in you. And can I say this to you? Peace is a major to not, there are some relationships that is love. They can say sweet things to each other. I love you. I miss you. Buy food. Buy this. But it is so not peaceful. Have you seen that kind of him? Quarrel morning till night. That relationship will not last. If it's now toxic. You know what I said? It's now toxic. Call it boyfriend and girlfriend. Call it anything. You must pursue peace. And I want to give a general counsel to pursue peace. And the word pursue. Pursue means it doesn't come by easily. King James said follow. Put up a translation. King James said follow. Follow peace with all men. Follow peace with all men. Follow peace with all men. NLT said, work at living in peace with everyone. Proverb Amplified, work at it. Work at it. Amplified said, continually pursue. That's Amplified Classic. Okay, that's Amplified. This is Amplified Classic. Strive to live in peace. You see the word strive. It's, you know, peace doesn't just come. You walk towards it. I'm going to challenge you to make up your mind that beyond having a loving relationship, you have a peaceful one. One that is full of peace. One that you are not always quarreling. Today, why did you take my shoe? Tomorrow, why? Quarrels destroy relationship faster than another thing. Although, in every relationship, there is going to be conflict. But if it becomes the order of the day, it begins to become toxic. Do you know why? When you are done with every quarrel, most of them leave a mark in you. Do you understand what I said now? Look at Proverbs 27 verse 15. I'll show you how to pursue peace. So. Proverbs. A continual dropping in every rainy day. And the contentious women are alike. Women are alike. Verse 16. Whosoever hideth her, hideth the wind, and other of his right hand which
berates himself. Oh, wow. So let's go to verse 15 now. Probably like NLT. This is a very powerful verse. So probably like NLT. Amen. I thought this was going to be verse today. A quarrelsome wife is as annoying as constant dripping on a rainy day. Do you know what constant dripping is? Constant dripping. Stopping her complaints is like trying to stop the wind or trying to hold something with greased hands. Amen. Quarrelsome wives. And I will add quarrelsome husbands too. Every day. Easy to pick quarrel. Why are you like that? Why are you like that? Go back to verse 15. Let's have the other translations. Amen. Amplified said, a continual dripping on a day of violent showers and a contentious woman are alike. Put up another translation. Message said, a nagging spouse is like the drip of a leaking faucet. You know when roof is leaking? Do you understand? Where roof is leaking and they say it just gives the water is just... If you are always in a hurry, always, to enter into quarrel, to pick up quarrel. You think someone say, there's this post, like, I can't remember. It looks like something like that. If you are in a relationship, that if true love comes with quarrel, this is a lie. If that is, I don't want true love, there will be contention, there will be quarrel. But even that, there is even a way the quarrel is. What kind of quarrel is every day? Are you people market women? Are you people selling pepper in the market? Every time, it's not true. It's true. Give me. You are betting on my head. You are stepping on me. You don't give me a chance relationship. You are just, it's you. I'm sorry now. You know I love you. You will destroy that relationship. And if you don't destroy that, both of you get married. By the time you enter into the marriage, you will destroy the kids you will bear. Because they will grow up every day. Seeing their father, after that, I love you. Fully yourself. Peace. A nagging wife is like water going drip, drip, drip on a rainy day. See the next verse. Verse 16. Go back to GNT. He said, how can you keep her quiet? Have you ever tried to stop the wind or ever tried to hold a handful of oil? How do you keep her quiet? And some of you are just seeing yourself. And if you let them, better start stopping it. Don't derive joy. You know me. Imagine me a question. You know why are you like that? Shut up your mouth. Keep quiet. Don't always find it easy to just pick offense. I'm not going to take it. I'm not going to take it. I know my rights. We are feminists. And see the kind of home you produce. Should I show you more? Proverbs 21 verse 9. Proverbs 21 and verse 9. It is better to dwell in a corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. What about that translation of this? In a wide house. It is better to live alone in the corner of an attic than with a quarrelsome wife in a lovely home. It's like quarrel dealt with Solomon. Like one of the women he married wanted to kill him. Message said, better to live alone in a tumble down shack than share a mansion with a nagging spouse. And the fact that he says spouse, man or woman, once is a soul that easily picks quarrel. And if you're like that, that's begin to stop it. Pursue peace in your relationship. And I can tell you one of the ways to do that. One is always be ready to forgive. Always be ready to forgive anything. Second,
always be ready to tolerate anything. Forgiveness and tolerance will give you peace in any relationship. With your father. I know somebody wrote me. I just remember this now. And I planned I was going to say this. I was talking to him about what is happening at home. His father and all that. And one of the things he closed with that touched me. He said, what do I do? I don't want to become like him. Because the man, you know, living. One of the things that if you're following me now and you wrote me. One of the things you have to do not to become like him is to first of all forgive him. If you don't forgive him, you will replicate him. Forgiveness is the first. When you learn to easily forgive people, it's easy to live in peace with them. Ephesians 4. Is it for 4? Yes, 4 verse 31. He said, and be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Forgiving one another. Letting go of everything. Always be, and I might tell my friends, have more forgiveness to give than quarrel to give. Have more forgiveness. Carry along a bag of forgiveness as you travel. Amen. Amen. Forgiveness. Then second thing I said is tolerance. Be ready to tolerate people. You know what I mean? You know, Colossians 3:13. Be ready to tolerate people. You know, forgiveness is one thing. Forgiveness is when people have hurt you. Tolerance is that you are making allowance. Pull up NLT of this. We're going to read this together. Yeah, you are saying, okay, I know this person is going to hurt me. I create room. I make excuses for them. Let's see, everybody, 1, 2, 3, go. Come on, let me hear your voice, everybody. Okay. Make allowance. Put up like message. Make allowance. Make allowance for each other's faults. Message said, be even tempered. Content with second place. Quick to forgive an offense. Forgive as quickly and completely as the master forgive you. Hallelujah. TNT said, be tolerant with one another. You see, people are going, what's any relationship? You see, even as your pastor, the reason why we see many members come out of it, say, pastor did this to me, is because they've not understood this thing. Once you choose a pastor, make space, he is going to annoy you. Are you getting me, guys? He's going to hurt you. He's going to annoy you. One day, whether you think so or you don't think so, one day you might feel he's preaching with you. I'm just telling you, whether it's true or not, you might feel, have you ever felt like that before? That are preaching with me. Share this in my third pastor term that he's using to preach today. Whether it's true or not, one day you're going to feel like that. One day you're going to feel that this pastor is a hypocrite. One day you're going to feel all those things. Make allowance. And you wonder how I cope with you, with all the nonsense you are doing. The day you walk up, you join this church as a son or as a daughter, in my heart, I already made room. That's why there is no sin, there is no crime you commit that can shock me. I never saw you as perfect in the first place. You think I'm still as perfect? I'm not. There is room. There is room that you will change. There is room that you will get better. There is room for forgiveness. If not, I'm just going to carry a lot of baggage. I'll be walking up and down all over the place. See what that person did to me as a pastor. You know, you must make room. Have a large heart. I tell my pastor this all the time. Have a large heart. Such that people can annoy you, offend you, walk away from you, and still come back. And you accept them. Now people say, well, do you accept people when they walk away from you? You should accept them when they come back. However, don't accept them and put them back where they used to be. You know what I said? If you used to be paddy paddy, and the piawa mazu, and go, you know, you just did a lot of crazy stuff to me. After 2 years, you come back and say, guys, sorry. I will accept you. I will forgive you. But I can't take you back to that paddy that we were before. It might happen, but it has to take some time. Because within those 2 years, you've acquired a lot of attitude. A lot of things that happened to you. Are you getting the point? And my life, I've been moving too. That space was not waiting for you to come and take it. And that's why I say to people, you are in a church and you left the church because of anger or whatever. Go back to your church. Never leave any church because of anger or quarrel. Never. If you're ever going to leave a church, let it be that the Lord has spoken to you and you discuss with the leadership, especially if you are committed there. And when you leave, leave well. And if you have, you notice, maybe you're in this church, one day we annoy you, you go. Once you want to come back, see how to come back. Don't come back with an air of superiority. Before I left here, I was a minister. So as I'm coming back, where were you when we started this church? All of you are ministers today. When we started those days. No. You went. We'll accept you back. We have that ladder, but we'll not take you back to that place. It might take 7 years. Amen. Oh. You know where I learned this wisdom from? Paul. John Mark left them along the line in the mission. He came back one day. Barnabas said, let's take him. Paul said, no. At first, I used to think this Paul is wicked. But if you read the other letters of Paul, I've shown you that. You notice that later in the ministry of Paul, he said, bring Mark for me. He needed the guy to prove that he's really coming back. Are you getting me, guys? So have room for tolerance. Tolerate people. Forgive easily. People are going to hurt you. Make allowance. Many of us are planning to get married. And we've not made room. We've not made room. We are still holding on to our old. Me, I can't tolerate a man that does not keep his shoe well when he comes back. I can't even take it. I can't even. Me, I know myself. Make room, oh. Are you getting me? Make room. I'm now warning you. Before you enter the eagles and I'm fighting every day. Ordinary, what is there in keeping your shoe well? It is something for some people. What is there in keeping your shoe well? Some people is a big deal. You know, somebody complained to me. I said, sir, how do I tell this woman to flush the toilet when she's done using it? I said, tell her. I said, I've told her. She will just say, sorry. But she doesn't flush it. I said, does she need to go and fetch water? I said, no. Just. But she will not flush it. He said, God forbid, I cannot marry that person. How are you sure the person you are dating now is not like that? Don't worry. Let marriage happen. You know, when you guys are together, it's also proper. He come and I say, well, your toilet is even dirty. Let me clean it. Don't worry, it's not like that. She may not be like that. Make room. Say amen. Make room, oh. Tolerate. You know, I'm going to give you an instruction today. The Bible says, pursue peace. I'm going to ask you, I wrote it in my note, make efforts towards peace. Extra efforts. Matthew 5:23, let me show you this. Make extra efforts towards living in peace with people. Some people will want to quarrel with you. Be, even if you're not going to be people's friends, be at peace with them. Write that, not forget it. Even if you're not going to be their friends, be at peace with them. And let me even say this to you. Whenever any relationship is ending in your life, make sure you guys don't end on a quarrelsome note. Don't pass through any door and slam that door. You may need to pass through it tomorrow. I get what I'm saying. Don't slam any door you pass through. Make efforts. That's why I told you, I'm parting ways with the church. Don't part with quarrel. All of you get out. I don't need anybody here. Nonsense. Nonsense church. Don't leave any church like that. Don't do it. You might be shooting yourself on the leg. You have a mentor that because of whatever you have to move on from. You guys might not be flowing like that. Make sure it's not on a quarrelsome note. Peacefully. Even as a relationship, romantic relationship that has to end, there is a way to end it. So don't go and end the one you will end on your wedding day that carrying, that poisoning the food on your wedding. He said, I thought she's a believer. Jesus. Amen. Look at this scripture. If thou will bring thy gift to the altar, and there remembrance, put up like NLT, that thy brother had aught against thee. Put up NLT. NLT says, so if you are presenting a sacrifice at the altar in the temple, and you suddenly remember, that's, you know, I was talking to some people in my office yesterday, you suddenly remember that someone has something against you. He did not say that you remember that you hurt somebody. You remember that somebody has something, it's not like you hurt the person, no. Are you getting the gist? The person has something against you. He said, leave your sacrifice there. Go and reconcile with the person. Go and make peace. That tells you sometimes people are going to be angry with you. That is not your fault. But you must pursue peace. Are you following me? Pursue peace. Don't be comfortable. You know me. I give baskets. You give me, I give you. I don't talk to me. I'm not like that. Everybody knows me. All my friends know me. They know. We know you. That's why we cannot allow our brothers to marry you. You know, there are some of your friends today that if your brother says, I want to marry that girl, you refuse. Is it not true? Don't be that kind of friend though. Because why they will refuse? They know what you have been doing to them in that friendship. Now, my brother, can go argue. I don't know, but that girl... pursue peace. There's another scripture I didn't show us on the quarrelsome wife thing. So in Proverbs 21 verse 9, go back, I showed you that. He said it's better to leave. Put up 21 verse 9. It's better to live on the rooftop than to live in the same house of quarrelsome wife. Now, Solomon felt you didn't understand. So in verse 19, go to verse 19. He now said, it is better to dwell in the wilderness. But now I said, it's better to live on the rooftop. He now said this one, now you go to the wilderness. A woman dealt with this man. And he said, it's better to dwell in the desert than with a quarrelsome and complaining wife. And I can tell you sincerely, I share Solomon's views. I say, some of you to give me wahala. I will not pursue you. I will go. Pack one or two things. And escape. Growing up, and I was telling people, when I was younger, I wanted love. When I grew older, I want peace. Don't love me. Just give me peace. If I come back, let's not fight. Let me not come back to. See when you're coming back. By this time of the... please. Don't even give me food. Let me sleep. You must value peace. And be a peaceful person. Let people find peace when they're around you. Put up like message. Let's move to the next point. Message. Message said, and it said desert. Message said, better to live in a tent in the wild than with a cross and petulant spouse. And I thought that message is using spouse. So that you know this is not just about woman. Okay, Solomon was writing, he is a man, so he has to use woman. Amen? But spouse generally is better. So don't pursue peace. Always be the first to say sorry. Master those words. Sorry. Be the first. Last, I read one. It's fiction, yeah. A son met the father and told the father, I want to get married. And the father said, you want to get married? He said, yes. He said, tell me sorry. The boy said, for what? He said, tell me sorry. The boy said, what? He said, tell me sorry. And the boy said, sorry. He said, hey, now you're ready to get married. You must be ready to say sorry for nothing. So look at your neighbor and say sorry. Apologize to your neighbor, say sorry. You must be ready to offer apology. Do you know, I was talking to my brother one the other day. Many churches that break up, that we call rebellion,
sorry would have ended everything. There is an apology from pastor to members. Hope you know this thing I said. Do you know? There's an apology from father to son. There's an apology from member to pastor. Sometimes it is our pride. Sorry. I didn't mean it like that. But instead of you to say sorry, you want to prove to the person that you are not wrong. If you don't know how to prove it as a pastor, you now play the honor card. You are walking in dishonor. I'm talking, you are talking. But you know you are wrong. Is your conscience not flogging? Hallelujah. So say two more things. So the third one we're looking at is what? Pursue peace. The fourth one is self-control over your anger and your words. Self, I thought we're going to have them talk about this a lot, but self-control over your anger and over your words. Ephesians 4:26. He says, be angry. He said, but sin not. He tells us how that happens. He said, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Many of us don't have this. Anger was, you know, anger is not a sin. But anger can lead to sin. But that is when you no longer have control over the anger. If you are here, and I'm going to say this, if you are like that, and you want me to help you, meet me, or meet anybody that is mentored, let them help you. If you are here, and whenever you get angry, you do unimaginable things. You say unimaginable things. After you say, sorry, nah, I was angry. If you are like that, you need help. You know what I said? You need help. Your relationship, because you will damage plenty. It's okay to be angry. Everybody gets angry. But let your anger not lead you to do stupid things and then say senseless things. Proverbs 15 verse 1. Let me show you. Proverbs 15 verse 1. He said, a soft answer turns away wrath. Grievous words tear up anger. When you are angry, you must know what to say. Let me tell you why some homes are like battlegrounds. Because the both parents don't know that when you are angry, you should still be in control of your emotions even though you are angry. You are angry, you break things. You smash your phone. You smash your TV. You can slap. You can punch. You can insult when you are angry. You need help. Oh, that is not just you. Don't say, that's me. When I get angry, you know me. You know if my anger they be. That's not who the believer is supposed to be. Are you following me, guys? A soft answer. This verse is a major key in many relationships. Soft answer. Probably not translation. Soft answer. Even in the heat of your temper, a gentle answer deflects anger. But harsh words make tempers flare. And so, there must be proper self-control over your anger and your words. And let me say this to you. This is not just in man and wife relationship. Every relationship. For the parents, Ephesians 6 verse 4, fathers, provoke not your children to anger. There is a way you don't, that's what don't allow anger do to you. Do not provoke your children to anger. To wrath. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's take a couple of scriptures because of our time. Proverbs 14 verse 29. You are angry with someone, you tell the person, idiot. People close to me, you know, I stand for this. That you can be very angry. Express your anger without using curse words. Are you following me? Like, express, I don't like what you did. This is wrong. I don't like it. You shouldn't have done it. That's not what I said. Without using nonsense, mumu, idiot, or them. I don't even know who. Oh, no, 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 no. No. He that is slow to rot is of great understanding. But he that is hasty of spirit, exalted fully. Put up an NLT or something. People with understanding control their anger. A hot temper shows great foolishness. The wisdom of God in your relationship is that even in anger, you are still in control of your emotions, control of your actions, and control of your words. even in anger.
Don't think it's okay to say every nonsense when you're angry and expect us to understand because you are angry when you said it. It doesn't always work like that. Please listen carefully. The person will say it's okay, I forgive you, I understand. But you know, words that have gone forth cannot be taken back. Are you getting me? It's not okay to be angry. I say, sorry, nah. Ah, don't take it serious. I was angry. Most times people believe that it's when people are angry that they say what they really mean. Are you getting me? So when I say I was angry, they say, it's fine. You must have a control of your tongue and your actions. You see how your anger has made you. You are in a relationship. Every quarrel is over between us. After some time, sorry now. Ah. I didn't mean it. You said, somebody cannot play with you. You are not playing. Every small thing, you block everyone on Facebook, block everybody on WhatsApp, block the person's number. Why are you like that? So anger can control what you do. Small quarrel, you are telling the person his life history. Is that not how your mother 2 days ago? Yeah, mother, you see all your family people. It's because I've not told you before. All of them are stupid. Why are you like that? People with understanding control their anger. James 1 verse 20. James 1 verse 20. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. This is forever true. Man's anger cannot achieve anything that God wants to do. Put up another translation. The wrath of man cannot. NLT said, human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires. The wrath of God does not work the righteousness of man. But the wrath of man, rather, does not work the righteousness of God. Ecclesiastes 7 verse 9. What's about time? What about King James? Let me say this to you. Don't ever be loose with your words when you're angry. Even if the person is not there. Sometimes you get angry for, you know, you're backbiting. You're talking about somebody because the person is not there. Do you think of all the words you spoke concerning your pastor? Then your pastor got you angry. You know the problem is with that one, talking to somebody else about somebody because you're angry. That one is very dangerous. Let me say this to you. Let me show you an example. I'm angry with Pastor Casey. And I'm discussing with Pastor Amara. Pastor Casey is just that guy. He's this. Don't mind him. After everything, I've messed up Pastor Casey's image here. I may later go and reconcile with Pastor Casey. But those words have spoken to Pastor Mara will stay with her. I don't get the point. To stay with her. Sometimes forever. Sometimes she might never have the opportunity to interact. But let me warn you. That's why when you have any friend that keeps talking to you about what somebody did wrong, shift from that person. Or warn the person never to tell you about people. You know me now. You know your pastor Shea. You cannot talk to him about anybody. If that my friend did it, I would just laugh. Once just when I say, well, I see how she did that, I would just ask her. Say, hey, man, don't tell her I say it though. Why won't I tell her? Did you not say it? I don't say this like a whispering bird whisper to me, no. Rose said, nothing. That's how I thought. You know, she said, I will tell you, and I will tell her, I will say, don't trust me with secrets about other people. Don't do it. If the reason you are telling me is not to help the person, if you are talking to me about, I heard that this brother did this, let it be that I say, Pastor, I'm just talking to you because I want us to see what you can do to help this brother. That's not gossip, that's concern. Are you getting me, guys? But we're just talking, I will talk. Your anger shouldn't make you angry. Look at this. Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry. For anger resteth in the bosom of fools. Anger dwells in the bosom of fools. Hallelujah. In the heart of fools. Proverbs 15 and verse 18. NLT of that Ecclesiastes 7 says, control your temper. Anger labels you a fool. Proverbs 15 verse 18. A wrathful man steereth up strife. He that is slow to anger appeaseth strife. You should not be in a hurry to quarrel. Hot temper, hot emotions, always to show. No. Calm down, brother. Now, let me say this to you. If you are close to me, you must have heard this from me a couple of times. So you may say, I'm not a slave of my emotions. Say it again, I'm not a slave of my emotions. You should be able to be very angry and still control what you do and still control what you say. Imagine Jesus speaking to us when they were trying to kill him. I just got angry. See, Imam Urahos. Maybe as if I, as the soldiers are flogging, just flogging once. 14, 15. If that thing touch me again, you know that I'm not Jesus. Touch me that thing again. Do you think he was not hurting? At least I guess some money, he cried. But you learn from Jesus to be able to hurt. Well, because there is a bigger vision for this thing we are doing, I will hold back my anger. Imagine you got angry and said, Roman soldier, if you say your name, he's soldier, touch me this skin again. I will show you that I have how many angels that flog me again. Nonsense. Get out. Or maybe on the cross, as one of those thieves was insulting him. Say, if you say you are Jesus, God of the just talk. Hey. Anger dwells in the heart of a fool. Let them drive you to... Some of you, this is the reason why we see you with bus conductor, you're embarrassing yourself. Kekema, you're embarrassing yourself. Give me a change. Let me tell you, those guys are going to try to get on your nerves. It's okay to be angry, but I don't like intimidation too. Are you getting me? But you must be able to rein in your emotions. Say what you must say. Are you getting me? I was it last Thursday or so? We were going home from church. I was last Thursday. And then we got to a place, there was traffic and all that. And this keke guy was deliberately trying to make me angry. Okay, clear, let me pass. He just stood there, refused to move. I was with my people. I was playing song. For some guys we are passing, he just blocked me. He wanted me to get angry. I found out, I went down, I told him, why not just adjust, clear your distance so that he didn't, he was just looking at me. I went in. I sat down. He tried his best to annoy me. I know this kind of place, you are trying to annoy somebody, you are shouting. The person is just smiling. He'll be shouting, I'll be talking to people in the car. Tell them, you know this song, guys? The person that did this song. I am so much, you can't try, and that one is more painful. Imagine you are shouting, over, and I'm talking very quietly. You know what I'm trying to say. When people pass, they're asking, who are you fighting? Rein in your emotions. Rein in your anger. It will keep your relationship safe. And one of the ways to do that, I tell you, let it not control what you do or what you say. Don't do or say when you are angry what you will not be proud of when the anger dissipates, when the anger goes. You get what I said? Whatever you will not be proud of when the anger has lifted, don't do it, don't say it. If men knew this, they will not be beating their wives at home. I don't get the point. They won't. If women do this, they don't be saying, you know, this thing about speaking hurtful words, maybe as a woman to your husband. A woman to your husband, you are his number one cheerleader. Everything you say to him means a lot. And some of them are going to marry pastors or pastors, whether men or women. You see, even if everybody in church says that your husband's message or your wife's message is powerful, the one you say matters more. I hope you know this thing is true. It matters more. And that's how your words have power over him. So that they just say, nonsense, pastor. You might finally say sorry. But that thing has stayed. Pray that you are not married by then. Because if it's my son that you say nonsense, pastor to, nonsense, pastor can never marry you. That things you don't say. Because you say, Anna, pastor, you say, you are distress in this church. I was angry, Joe. So, what if You know what I used to reason? Let me, if I forgive you that you are angry, I'm not saying that these things can be worked on, no. I'm not saying anybody that is like that, break up, no. Decide to work on it. What if I forgive you that you are angry, and the day that anger overtakes you is the day we are in church? Maybe I'm trying to talk to you at the back. And you just say, nonsense! Nonsense! Pastor Engineer! And then, imagine. You just come out. Where are my children? Nonsense, man. And I come back and I say, sorry, I don't know what came over me. The question is, are you going to go to all those people that witnessed that incident? And all the people they've talked to about it? To apologize in their presence. You know, I was close to a girl some years ago. No, nothing to it. But we're close. Very close. That close. Do you understand? And I was with two of my friends. I don't know what I said to this girl. We're talking, if you know me, if you're close to me, you know, I don't like raising my voice in public. I was just talking to her, you know. She said, I'm hungry. I said, oh, you're hungry. So what are you going to say? Give me money. I want to buy some. I want to buy. Okay, fine. What do you want to buy? So I don't know how much I'm giving. The next thing I heard is, well, this kind of hissing that starts from Jerusalem and ends in Judea, dragged it in and walked out. My friends, I can keep my composure. I was just walking. My friends like, guy, what happened? I said, don't mind her. She'll be fine. I tried to cover it up. Walk out on me. Hi. So, before I could get home, she had called. I'm sorry, Joe. It's just that. I said, what did I do wrong? He said, I said I wanted to eat and you should give me money. If you're asking me what do I want to buy and how much will I spend, it now looks like you don't trust that anything you give me that I'll spend the money wisely. I said, okay, that's why you hissed and walked out. I said, sister, that way you walked. Keep walking. She said, sorry. I said, fine, I'm forgiving you. But I knew that. Now, is anger a problem? No. Do I get angry? If you're around me, now I used to get angry. But that anger should not make me say some things. Or do some things. Imagine I get angry one day and just scatter seats in church. Bring down one TV. Hit it on the floor. Bring down another TV on the floor. Kick the speaker. Nonsense. Put fire on the generator. Rubbish. You know, this. What I'm saying is extreme. But have you seen anger that is like this before? I'm not joking. I've seen. I'm not. It's like I'm cracking joke. I've seen somebody that got angry. With the, I went to the company generator and put fire on it. Hi. But that was the devil that possessed her. To run down that company. There's nothing else you can say. Let me give you a counsel. I don't know how far you're going to take this counsel, but I'll just give it to you. Proverbs 22 verse 24. I don't know how far you take it. I pray God helps you interpret it very well. But I'm just going to read the Bible to you. Proverbs 22 verse 24. Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go. Verse 25. Lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. Go back to NLT. NLT. Don't befriend angry people or associate with hot-tempered people. Why? Or you will learn to be like them and endanger your soul. However, whatever I want to do with this, you do it. Amen? Last instruction for today. What will keep a relationship is respect and honor. That's the fifth one. Respect and honor. I'm closing with that. In 1 Peter 2, verse 17. If the last point I made on anger affects you in any way, that's why you are in church. You can decide to work on it. Begin to trust that a Holy Ghost will help you, the life of God in you. You can begin to tell, I'm not angry. Don't brag with it. Don't say you know me. You can work on it from today. If you need help, sometimes you need help. Oh, meet your mentors. Let's help you get through with it. Let's help you get through with it. Are you getting me? Somebody helped me get through with this kind of anger. I don't have time. I would have shared the story with you. Okay, let's help you get through with it. An anger that makes you, once it comes, you forget everybody. That day, somebody annoyed me. And the person was my senior. I wanted to beat up the person. Anger. Hallelujah. So, respect and honor. He said, honor all men. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. Honor how many men? All men. So, I'm going to close with that. Any relationship that is respect, mutual honor, it will survive. There is an honor that goes from father to son. There's an honor from son to father. Are you following me? There's an honor from son to father. There is a way, and you must give everybody the honor that they deserve. And so you mustn't be, and two things I would say, or three things rather, you must honor and respect people first in your heart. What does it mean to honor people in your heart? To sincerely value them. Sincerely value people. Have value for people. Value in your heart for people. I'm your pastor. Value me very well. That your brother, value him. That guy around, value people very well. Not because of what they have. Not because of how they look, but because you just value them. The Bible said, honor all men. All men. Let me say this to you. Have sincere value for people. There are some of us that the only way we value people is if they have a position or if they have money. Or if they've achieved something, that's wrong. Sincerely have value for all ladies if you're a man. A real man values women. Whether she's big or small. Whether she's slim or fat. You have value, you have respect for her. The same thing from the man, from the woman. A real woman will always value and respect a man. Whether he's a conductor, whether he's a bus driver, whether he's an Uber at the park. You have real respect for him. That is real value. Are you getting me? That's real value. You know, I teach you guys, you come to church here. Once somebody is a man and you're a woman, respect them. Men, once somebody is a woman, so there's a woman, respect her. And also your fellow men, have respect, have value for them. So, at her there is value, then you also respect and honor people in your words, in speech. You don't insult people. You don't talk people down. You respect them. You value them with your words. So, in other words, listen, that is a way you don't talk to people. How many of you know this? You know, right? Even as a leader, there's a way you don't talk to people. There's a way you don't talk to people. There's a way you don't talk to people. You respect, you value people. You honor them in your words. In speech, also in actions. In your action. You know, James was giving a serious warning in James chapter 2, verse 2. He was giving an example of how we should not value or respect people because of what they have. He said, if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring in good apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment. So the other one is well dressed, the other one is not. And you have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing. And say unto him, sit down here in a good place. And say to the poor, stand down here or sit here under my footstool. What did he say is the problem? Are you not them partially yourself? Really value people, whether they are well dressed, whether they are rich, whether they are poor. If you learn to respect and honor people, you will do yourself a lot of good. Because the man you honor today might become great tomorrow. Even if he doesn't, it's okay. That's why we teach our ushers, everybody deserves to be respected. The same way, if I'm coming in as the pastor, you should carry my bag and all that. If any other believer is coming in, rush, carry their bag. They don't have to look good. They don't have to look fine. They don't have to wear better clothes. I get the point. Honor. So bring in honor and respect in your relationship. In every relationship, you need honor, you need respect. In church, for instance, Hebrews 13 verse 17 tells us that we must respect, obey our spiritual leaders. Hebrews 13, 17, obey them that have the rule over you. Obey them. In family, Ephesians 6 verse 1 tells us that children must obey their parents. So every relationship needs respect and honor to thrive. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. Hallelujah. That he may be well with you and you will live long on earth. Respect. Honor. It's the wisdom of God. So when you're saying, I don't respect people, I don't, you know me, we shouldn't know you like that. Proper honor. Proper respect. In 1 Timothy 5 verse 1, he spoke more about respect and honor in the church. This was not just about pastors now. 1 Timothy 5 verse 1. He said, rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father. So that he went to talk to an elder, someone that's older than you. You see, these things are not outdated with Christianity. Because someone is older than you, the person deserves some respect. Greeting will not kill you. Respect people. And the younger men as brethren. The younger ladies or the younger women as elder women as mothers, younger as sisters with all purity. You must respect people and honor them. Amen. In marriage, the same thing. We are told, wives, submit your husband, Ephesians 5 verse 21. Also in marriage, men are supposed to honor their wives too. How many of you know this? If 1 Peter chapter 3, from verse 1. Proper NLT, that should be our last scripture for today. That must be proper respect and honor in all your relationships. I'm your pastor. You must honor me and respect me. You're my member. I should honor you and respect you. One of those honors is that you're not supposed to tell me a secret about your life. And I come to you and I'm telling everybody. I have to honor that secrecy. Honor that trust. Are you following me, guys? Honor that trust. Part of that respect is that sometimes if I have to correct you, if it's not something you did publicly, I have to correct you. Maybe angrily, but privately. Are you getting me? It's respect. I have to honor you. In your marriage, your spouse deserves the honor. She doesn't deserve to be spoken to anyhow. She doesn't deserve to be called names. Respect, honor. In your office, the same thing. The fact that someone is a staff under you doesn't mean you just open your mouth and talk anyhow. Say you are very unproductive. You don't ever achieve anything. You can never make it. Don't like that. Don't ever be like that. 1 Peter 3 verse 1. Not 1 Timothy, 1 Peter 3 verse 1. We then also, I'm going to read from verse 1 to 8 and then we close for today. So this marriage is not just about respecting women to men. It's the both ways. In the same way, you wives must accept the authority of your husbands. Then even if some refuse to obey the good news, your godly life will speak to them without any words and they'll be won over. Continue. They'll be won over by observing your pure and reverent lives. And reverent lives. Don't be concerned about the outward beauty of fancy hairstyles, expensive jewelry or beautiful clothes. Remember this place, I've explained it, right? You should clothe yourself instead with the beauty that comes from within. The unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is so precious to God. I dealt with this in the Woman in God's Plan series, right? This is how the holy woman of old made themselves beautiful. How did they make themselves beautiful? They trusted God and accepted the authority of their husbands. That was happening in the home. Are you following me? That was happening in the home. For instance, Sarah obeyed her husband Abraham and called him her master. You are her daughter, so you do what is right without fear of what your husbands might do. Now, pay attention now. He said in the same way, you husbands must give honor to your wives. Most men love stopping at verse 6. It didn't stop at verse 6. Verse 7 said you must also give honor. So in relationship, in marriage, submission is not mutual. But honor is mutual. Did you get the point? Why submission not mutual? Because there is one divine leader in the home. That is the man. In church now, submission is not mutual. You submit to me, I don't submit to you. But honor must be mutual. Are you following me, guys? Give honor to your wives. Treat your wife with understanding as you live together. She may be weaker than you are, but she's your equal partner in God's gift of new life. Treat her as you should, so your prayers will not be hindered. Verse 8. I'll stop there. Finally, all of you should be of one mind. Sympathize with each other. Love each other as brothers and sisters. Be tender-hearted and keep a humble attitude. So, respect. You know, your wife may not be as strong as you are, but you honor her. You respect her opinions. You respect her suggestions. The same thing with your friends. Have you ever been in a friendship where you felt you are not being respected. It doesn't always feel good. It doesn't always feel good. There should be mutual respect. Even when the guy is talking nonsense, listen. Respect her. Even when she doesn't make sense. Except you guys have a good vibe, bro. When she doesn't make sense, there's a kind of laugh you don't laugh people. I've never laughed at you and you felt perplexed. Has it ever happened to you? They just laugh. You just say, Let me teach you one thing before I close. In life, Jesus gave a golden rule for relationship. That's the last I'm going to say. He says, whatever you don't want people to do to you, don't do it to them. What it means is that whenever you're relating with people, pay attention to their feelings. Did you hear what I said? Pay attention to how they feel. Whenever you are talking, sometimes you crack joke, but that joke has crossed the line. Pay attention to the person's feelings. Are you following me? Pay attention. If you are, no way you're crossing the line. One of my sons was, I don't know, she was cracking, he was cracking, you know, talking to one girl. Called her that she's, I think the girl in his eyes, because the girl is even taller than him. But in his eyes, the girl is short. He say, you are just like two big moths. Everybody started laughing. No, it was hamster moth, sorry. But I looked at the girl's face. That thing has crossed the line. I knew. And everybody was laughing. I said, people foolish. So I called him. I said, if I describe you to you, you may never follow me again. Are you following me? You won't you know when joke has passed joke. When you interact with people, you should know. You should care about how they feel. That way you don't want to be spoken to. Don't speak to another person like that. That way you don't want to be insulted. There must be mutual respect. That way you want to be honored. Honor someone else like that too. You celebrate your birthday. You want your friends that on your birthday, all of them are going to come together and sing for he's a jolly good fellow. Do it for someone else on his own birthday. Honor and respect must be mutual. Are you following me, guys? Must be mutual. If you imbibe this, you will preserve many relationships. Many relationships. In the relationship where it is only one party saying sorry, it will crumble very soon. Sorry shall come from the both ends. Preserve and protect a relationship. Carefully pick the right people. Walk in love in that relationship. Pursue peace in that relationship. Have control over your anger and your words. Over your action and your words, even when you are angry. And then have proper respect and honor for everyone. There are many stories I can tell you. But you see, in summary, I will say that many relationships have been lost or preserved by what I'm sharing with you. Have you heard stories? I'm talking about respect to everybody. Have you heard stories of people that get to a company, they came for an interview, and they insult the boss at the gate? Have you heard such stories? Real life story. They insult the boss, and they don't know if it's already the boss. And then they walk into the interview hall. Ah, it's the man there. The announcer saying, yes, sir. Yes, sir. She doesn't have value. He doesn't have value for people. He just values their position. Have proper respect and honor for everyone. Abraham saw three men. He didn't know them. He didn't know if they were anything. He ran towards them and said, come in and eat. I perceive that you guys are tired. That's kindness. And coincidentally, as it were, there were three angels that appeared in human forms. And right on that visit, he said, where is your wife Sarah? By this time next year, she will have a child. And that's kindness. I get the point. If those guys were carrying angels written on their face, they would have been entertained before they got Abraham's house. Who is following me this evening? But proper love, honor, and respect for everyone will help you protect your relationships. Will help you preserve relationships. Hallelujah. As we close, whatever you've picked from these two, if there are people you are hurting against, and I'm doing devotion today, at home, this was what we dealt with. If you're hurting like someone has hurt you, it's the day to forgive the person. It's the day to repair relationships.
is the day to decide to be peaceful, to decide to walk in love, to decide to have some control over your temper and your anger, to decide to walk in respect and honor as you are. I charge you to walk worthy of your calling unto all pleasing. Hallelujah.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.